views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
You're podcasting with your friends about Letterkenny the other day.
I do like, for Hulu's streaming stuff that they've done, they've started doing the once-a-month horror movie thing that's thematic to the different months.
Oh, yep. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
season two just picked up, because they started Halloween last year, and season two just picked up.
Nice.
Yeah, and they're all, like, thematic, so you've got, like, St. Patrick's Day for March, you've got, like, 4th of July, all the different holidays are thematically.
And does that mean you just get nothing but leprechaun movies? During March?
Or just like a drunk Irish dude that murders people.
Or Thanksgiving? Yeah. Was it Thanksgiving, the one with the...
That was a turkey.
Murderous turkey?
Yeah. The Thanksgiving one this year was Pilgrim. It was about murderous pilgrims.
Speaking of horror movies, Katie from Letterkenny, I don't remember the actress's name, but she's done a couple of B-horror movies.
Has she?
Yeah.
Yes, she has. Oh, and man. I haven't been able to find any of them either, speaking of streaming services. I'm going to go home and do that tonight.
I'm kind of amazed that we don't see like Jared Kiso and a lot of his co-stars in more stuff, because they're so brilliant in Letterkenny, you think that people would be like knocking on their door.
Yeah.
He's done other things, though. And I think he's done a few episodes here and there of... You know, name the series, and he's probably been in it
as just like a small part kind of thing in there. All right, so because these are actors, you know, they are. Before Letterkenny, they were probably trying to get work, and then they put up this YouTube series that with little 2-minute Letterkenny problems videos of them just doing their thing, and it turned into this monstrosity that we have before us.
Yeah, he lived in L.A., so I'm pretty sure he...
In L.A.
So I'm pretty sure that he, you know, auditioned for all the usual suspects, SVU...
He auditioned for the usual suspects?
Well, no, you know, but SVU, CSI, all the crime procedurals that everybody...
All the letter shows.
Yeah, all the letter shows that everybody gets roles as man number two or something like that.
Could you please try to say Kaiser Sose in Letterkenny?
So... You were pretending to be Kaiser Sose the other day.
So you just, like, changed that? Not likely.
Now he's Midwestern.
Kaiser Sose.
Wish you weren't so fucking Sose, bud.
Oh, boy.
What we are talking about this evening is the amazing cult show Letterkenny that you can see on Hulu. It was originally a Crave original from Canada, then it was not available in the States, and I think they had 6 seasons, I believe, when it dropped on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Or
was it three?
Three, because season four was on Hulu, because I had to watch up through 3 to get caught up for when they dropped 4, which was a year or two ago
on Hulu.
Yeah.
Because it seemed to just pick up all at once, like, not even, what, maybe a year ago?
I feel like a year ago in Hulu.
Yeah, because it
was... I feel like when I started watching it, all of it was on Hulu.
I was pretty into it, like, from when I found out that it was available.
Yeah.
Sean, who, friend of the show, everybody knows.
Yeah.
He told me about it about a year before it actually came out.
Oh,
because,
wow.
You know, he pirates everything.
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
way to call out a dude by name.
I was going
to
say, man, you should have just
first
like,
and
under
last
the
name.
Bus, and then he just like went back over.
Just bleep that out.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome.
I'll leave out the last name.
And when I say pirate, I mean, he walks around, you know, with
dressed
a patch,
as a
dressed as a pirate, and a wooden sword, and a fake bird on his shoulder.
You got
any
of that Letterkenny video, man? Just arr.
Why are they always out of Letterkenny videos?
He told me about it, and he was like, dude, you would love this. But then I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Granted, I didn't really look at YouTube.
Yeah.
But I tried to, like, I was like, oh, it's on like Crave. Oh, I'd have to pay for this?
Pay for this. But luckily, we now have it on Hulu, and we're going to dig deep. We've been trying to do an episode on Letterkenny since the series, like, since it became kind of blown up on Hulu and everybody started watching it. We immensely quote it. We definitely have quoted it on previous episodes of GUI.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's become part of our common vernacular, which is one thing we are going to hit on, and how this has changed how people talk, because the show is so quotable. This episode of Geeks Under the Influence, pitter-patter.
Let's get
on Letterkenny. Welcome to our Letterkenny episode. This is our second to last episode of Geeks Under the Influence for the year.
Wow.
The next one we're doing is on the Rise of Skywalker, the Star Wars movie ending out the year. So this is very much in the holiday season, and we will be doing some holiday-esque type stuff during this, at least the what we're drinking. But we're going to get into our panel first before we continue with everything else. To my right, been on a few episodes or a couple episodes of GY and Booze Clues and been involved in GY for a little while now. We've got Michelle here.
So left eye.
Left eye.
Fuck up.
Left eye. Yeah. Michelle left eye is here. You were getting the Letterkenny around the same time as me. And so we were freaking out about it, just starting to just quote everything on our group message with a bunch of our friends.
Heck yeah.
And it got like to a point where that was all we were talking about for like a week or two.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Speaking of allegedly, to Michelle's right, gentleman who allegedly fucked an ostrich.
Wait, hold on now. What?
I heard he fucked two ostriches.
Oh
wow.
Hey. They were sick.
They're
both sick ostrich.
Oh.
No, one was sick and the other one was roofied.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know how you give an ostrich Rohypnol, but
yeah, right. But you would know. We're talking about Sean Lucas here. Sean Lucas, the gentleman most familiar with how to roofie an ostrich.
That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, no.
That's what you get for calling out pirates.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Have you met me? Yeah.
Most people, it's a 2-3 person job to fuck an ostrich, but Sean Lucas, he can do it solo.
Two at once.
Yeah. Two at once.
Ew. Ew.
To the right of Sean Lucas, my co-host, my partner in the Geeks on the Influence Network, the sexual chocolate, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, everybody?
How are you now?
Stop.
No?
Good, and you?
Good.
Not so bad.
Not so bad.
Good on you.
All right, Bigot. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right, Bigot. All right. Okay. All right. All
right. I promise that will only be about 70 to 75% of this episode is us just quoting Letterkenny throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to need you to bring it up about 25% there.
Yeah.
just solid 100.
I need to use that when people are whispering into the microphone. It's like, I need to bring that up just about 25%.
Yep.
And to my right is the founder of the GUI Network. We got The Hobbit.
How are you now? That's all I got.
That's all you got. That's it.
Yeah. Allegedly. Yes, welcome to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. I am Mike the Hobbit, the founder of the Geeks Under the Influence Network. We've got some stuff coming your way in December from Geeks Under the Influence, both podcasts coming out, live events, trivia, all sorts of stuff that you can find at GUIpodcast.com. That's where you can find all the shows on the network. We've got 9 currently, with 10 hoping to drop either by the tail end of the year or by the first or after the first of the year.
You're busy guys.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of a lot going on, the Letterkenny guys definitely have their hands full after the blow up of that show after it went on Hulu. They got pulled in by Hulu to do another season. And so we were planning on doing this shortly after the season came out, but there was so much going on at the time. I think that was around Halloween as well. So there was a lot of spooky stuff that we were doing. So this got pushed back a little bit, but it being a streaming service show, we all kind of needed time to get through it. You know, there's so much stuff happening. So many shows, so many things to watch and pay attention to.
Generally, just like 6 episodes a season, they're half an hour with commercials if you don't pay for that on Hulu.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to get through, but I mean, when you're trying to get through everything else you're watching.
Everything else.
What I'm saying. So season 1 was 6 episodes. 2 through 7 is 7 episodes. And yeah, they're only like, they average like 26 minutes because I don't do ads because fuck, I hate commercials. But yeah, there's lots of other stuff I want to watch too. I'm not of a mind where I'm going to dedicate all my viewing time to one thing.
However, you can get this whole thing done in like 3 hours.
One season.
Like less than 3 hours.
Yep. Yeah,
that is true.
And that's one of those things, if you have like a lazy Saturday or Sunday or something where you're just laying around the house, you could probably get through the whole series in a day.
Or if you're bored at work and you just get paid to watch TV.
That's true, which I know some of our listeners do have that ability to just sit around and watch TV at work. So this is the time to check that out. We will remind people that there will be spoilers about Letterkenny, although there's only a couple, like, oh, moments in Letterkenny. Yeah. We're more talking about just the kind of nature of the show, yeah, kind of its tone, a lot of the inside jokes.
I mean, I really like the job I work at now, but, I mean, you guys got any of those getting paid to watch TV jobs lying around?
Yeah, I think I have some in the back room. I'll go check.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'll pull one out for you.
I left my phone in the other room, but yeah.
Yeah. We'll work on that. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you know, if everybody else is doing it and it pays well.
Yeah. Hey. No shit. Speaking of pays well, you know these fuckers are making some money now.
Now, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Maybe not at first, because this started, like we said, as a YouTube series that they were just little 2-3 minute things where they were doing the
cold opens, basically.
The cold opens. Yeah. Basically the opening of the show.
Yep.
But what I love is that they still have that element in the show, but built it out to this entire world that you really understand kind of the dynamics of this little town
and
a lot
more.
And to
be able to successfully build on something like that, on something that's so small and so short,
yeah,
and to expand that much, oh my God, they are killing it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You're doing a fantastic job.
Agreed.
That's a lot of really good work.
Well, and they also, just visually, they make it seem so much bigger too, because, like, if you pay attention to how it's shot, like, everything is grandiose as far as the actual scenes.
Yeah.
Like, they're forever doing the pan outs or just the everyone in the same shot, but then you get to see this endless landscape to mountains in the distance, you know,
when they're sitting
giant bar. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, holy fuck, man.
There's the ice fishing in Quebec, or where they're near the stand and they're just hanging out and drinking.
Yeah.
Where you see just this plains and.
Yeah.
They shoot all of that in Sudbury, Ontario. But the town is based on Listowel.
Listowel, which is where Jared Keeso grew up.
Okay.
And it's about 45 minutes southwest of Ottawa. One of my friends who works at Banditos is Canadian and has friends who are cousins there. So
that's awesome.
She has family there. But yeah, she was telling me about that a while back. It's like, yeah, I have family in the town that they based Letterkenny on. And of course, you know, everybody, it's like you can go in there, order a drink, and somebody, and one of the bartenders, Jason or any of them, are big. And if they're big hockey fans, they're big Letterkenny fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they quoted that chair, and it's just like, oh, this is,
how are you now?
Yeah.
Like when you go up to the bar, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there always a bar fight too? I mean, that's.
I don't think there's a bar fight, but I mean, definitely, you know, see if you need a beer.
And I do want
get hammered. You want to get hammered?
The nature of this.
Get this man a puppers.
This became very much the element of the show right from the first episode. Is a combination of fighting and drinking, mm-hmm, is a major part of the entire identity of the show.
The fights are so well choreographed too.
They're great. I also love that at first Wayne is not fighting because he
I'm
was
not
like
fighting you. I'm smacking you, you tit.
He weaned off of fighting from his ex who cheated on him, and he was left, like, you know, kind of like down in the dumps. And he, by the end of the first episode, gets his cojones back.
Have you seen Angie's new boy?
He's like, welcome to Letterkenny.
Yeah, like,
fucking. Well, and that guy deserved it. He kicked poor. He
oh
kicked
sure.
The poor dude in the trash. He's fucking with somebody.
He was
right?
Just rocking a piss.
Yeah, dude.
Well, yeah, but he did have his pants all the way down. His ass was hanging
well,
out.
You
like,
know.
Some people never learn how to piss above like a second grade level.
I was about to say it's like, you know, that's kind of what you get for pissing like an 8-year-old, and
yeah,
and then, you know,
this
you throw that
Sparta.
In there. Yeah.
But I also love how that translated to later when I think it was Joint Boy came into the fray, and he was like, you know, I actually have a lot of respect for you defending dude who was like a third cousin or something of his.
Alexander,
we can just squash right now, shake hands, and just kind of like call it even or something, or we can do this. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, thank you, but I'm good. And I love that aspect too, where they fight just for it's honor.
Yeah.
It's straight up honor.
Yeah.
And then they fight, and then they're good afterwards, and then they hang out and drink. And then they're like good buddies for the rest of the series.
That was the super soft birthday.
Yeah, that was the super soft birthday.
Yeah, where like I love how they just like just do the same intro for every fight. They just change the song. It's so fucking good. I love that shit. I love how they do that consecutively through the entire.
Don't come down the laneway.
Yeah, but he did, and the last one did.
Yeah.
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 That was the guy was like, you know, maybe we can just call it good right now, and he was like, Nope. But they do that consecutively throughout the show, where like if there's multiple versions of the same thing, they just keep giving you the same like shots, and they'll just change something small about it. I love that.
Yeah,
it's so good
because it's knowing how to keep a joke running. There's
exactly.
So many running exactly. jokes in this series, like so many. It's an absurd amount of running jokes to the point where one of my favorite things they ever did was the "That's what I appreciate about you" joke, where they were hammering it kind of hard early in the series. On a couple of episodes where I'm like, okay, now it's getting kind of old, and then all of a sudden Squirrely Dan goes,
Your sister's hot. And I have no regrets. Yeah.
And just runs away. And he's like,
I'm too fat to run,
and I'm dead. And then they left it alone for like an episode or two for the most part, just to let it breathe a little bit. And I realized all of that was build up to that moment. I went, this is fucking brilliant.
Yep.
Yes.
Fucking brilliant. All these characters are deeply fleshed out.
Oh, and that brings me back to Katie and Wayne. Like, how well of a brother-sister dynamic do they really have on that
great.
Show?
It's
he
so
does
great.
Not approve necessarily Amazing. About how she, you know, deals with herself, but on the same end also knows she's an adult woman that makes those decisions on her own.
Yeah.
It's weirdly progressive for them being like hicks. Because there's all these different groups, and they are the hicks. They are the farmers, the shirt tuckers of the community.
And they know that about themselves. Like, what was it, this past season, the Christmas special, he was like, hicks? And he's like, call them to come in to get their gifts. Like, they know what they are. And they're fine with it. I love that, too. I love the self-awareness about, like, just their clique and, you know, how they work with everything else.
And he's always asking Katie to put more clothes on. Not my strong
not
suit.
Not my
brother.
Forte.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Not my strong suit. Not
no
my
one
forte.
Else wants her to put more clothes on.
No, absolutely not. No. She could walk around in a bikini even in the winter episodes. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm straight and I still want to see it.
Yep.
But
they have some fine women on that show.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm like, is that what Canada is like? Because you know
that's not what Canada is like.
A friend of mine actually used to call Saskatoon Snatch and Poon.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently it's just crawling with beautiful women.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Giggity. Ooh,
guess I know where I'm going next summer.
Yeah, guess we got to go to Saskatchewan then.
Don't go looking for beautiful women in Pittsburgh.
That's kind of
a
given.
You'll be there forever.
Yeah. I loved Pittsburgh when I visited, but yeah, that's not a community that... No, there were beautiful women there, don't get me wrong, but the ratio was definitely on a lower scale.
Now, did any of those... did the hotness scale decrease once they started talking? It's saying, what Shin's doing tonight?
See, that didn't bother me. The accent didn't bother me. That was fine.
What's Yun's, yeah.
That was the most Sean Lucas accent I've ever heard of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is just so Polish.
It's so bad. It's
like that's going to be my moves. Place. Now I just have some weird issue with the Polish. And they're like, what
are we doing to you?
Why is that the fucking hill that this podcast is dying on?
The world tour, the world domination that you're working for, you just lost Poland.
Just lost Poland.
Just lost Poland. Well, I mean, Poland lost Poland for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
No issues with the Polish. I love their pierogies and stuffed cabbage.
I was about to say, no pierogies for you.
Yeah,
you come
no
back
shit.
In one
right?
year.
Yeah. Pierogies are so good. Oh, man.
But yeah, I do.
They're so fucking good.
There really are
different groups in Letterkenny that are the main focus, which there's the hicks, and then you've got the skids that are the drug-addled.
Oh, I love the skids. Don't make that
dirty.
Face.
They're so dirty.
But they look out for each other.
So one of the things that I discovered from watching the show is we're all familiar with the Sum 41 song, Fat Lip.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a kid with a skid, no one knew me my name. Trashed my own house party because nobody came. I didn't know. For years, I didn't know what they were talking about when he said I was a skid. And then I watched the show and I'm like,
And now I did. He's connected there from
the actually,
Sean
I didn't
Lucas.
Know that before.
But
this is actually kind of a Canadian term, apparently.
That's
burnouts.
They're called skids.
Yeah. They're raver kids.
Yeah.
Well, they're incorporating a lot of it's the drug crowd. It's the like goth kid or electro crowd or like, you know, the stoners, the whatever, the burnouts.
Oh, that those dance moves, those sweet, sweet those dance sweet moves.
No fucking by the way,
moves. I love those.
Loving the memes so. Where there's, I'm going to tell my kids this was My Chemical Romance.
Yes.
Yes. Sure, those kids hanging outside the drugstore.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
In their overalls. Yeah.
Yes. That came later. It went really dark at first where they were getting into the fact that they were like cooking meth and selling it. And then like the natives were not into it at all. And they were like burned down the produce stand of Wade and Katie to send a message that we're not okay with meth coming from your town.
Yeah.
And it's like if you look away from the comedy element of it, they were dealing with some real issues. And then Katie talks to Stuart. Yeah. And it's like, you look terrible. Like
I used to really respect you.
Yeah,
and
I used
like
to really like
and
you. And now you're just like burned out. And then was it Tanis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she breaks him down super hard when they're.
Oh,
they're,
yeah. Tears him apart.
Tears him to fucking shreds. And that's where he starts making the move away from it a little bit. And then they get more comedic where they're definitely the burnouts, but they're not like bloodshot eyed, like about to die meth heads anymore. Yeah. They lightened them up a little bit, but you saw the progression.
Yeah. Now pretty much in this, all the way up to this current season, they're just kind of like, they're important characters, but they definitely are the butt of a lot of the jokes whenever they're in a scene, you know?
Tanis got hoofed for that too.
She did get hoofed for that.
Oh yes, she did.
Which was kind of awesome. Cause at first you don't really like Tanis. But then Tanis kind of comes around, and definitely in the last season, Tanis is...
No, I love Tanis. Yeah. I loved her from beginning to end.
That is something that I've noticed throughout the series as well, as they allow the characters, more so than a lot of shows, to progress and evolve and become new versions of themselves. And you also see that as time progresses, that some old hatchets are buried or... And even if there is some animosity, given the circumstances, people will work together for a common cause.
Yeah.
That you really see that this is how a small community works. And that is across the board throughout the entire series, that ultimately we are all Letterkenny. We are all of this community or our surrounding areas. And ultimately, the main thing is to make sure to fuck up the degens when they come into town. That's the
well, when you live in a town of 5,000, bad gas travels fast.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
Degens from up north.
Yeah. Fucking up my
degens from up country.
Up country.
I love the fish and shed episode where they were trying to get like fake gays.
Oh my
to
god! And they get the two models.
Two models.
Oh my god! I'm so fat.
Oh, those guys were great.
Oh, they were amazing.
That Katie brought home from the big city. Oh.
And just how they danced around them talking about like something that could have been very problematic in a series of just dudes that are metrosexual but not gay and using them as bait for degens to fight them. And like that's... Oh, like, but then Squirrely Dan comes out and is like, what I've learned in my women's studies class is that, and
yes,
like, and they talk about like, this is not okay. This is still not okay, but it's less not okay than the other options that we have available to us. And they're commenting on the fact that, yeah, we understand this is kind of shitty during the episode. And it's brilliant because they get away with that stuff by kind of mentioning that it's not the best.
Yeah. Oh, McMurray's speech. Well, I'm okay with yous, but I'm not
God,
like yous.
I know. McMurray getting super
getting really
weirded
worked
out
up over
about
it.
Just homosexuality. Like, I'm fine with it. It's great, but yeah, I'm not,
it's,
though.
It's,
like,
but it's not for me.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Speaking of that, what about Glenn?
Glenn,
oh my gord.
The actor that portrays Glenn is actually directs the majority of the episodes.
Hey, put your lips on this.
And he is so...
Wayne, I hope we can be best friends.
That's Jacob Tierney is the actor.
I'm just going to need you to pop that off.
He's the actor and directs most of the episodes. And he choose every ounce
Wait,
of scenery.
That's one of the directors?
Yeah, he's one of the directors.
Yeah.
Well, no, like, so Jacob Tierney is the sole director of every episode, and then he writes with somebody else. He
writes with Jared.
Yeah, writes with Jared. And they have another writer that's
wow,
on
so
there.
Wow, so he's the director?
Well.
Yeah, he's the director.
Fucking bravo. Holy shit.
Yep.
That's
there's even a blooper of him when they started doing Crack and Egg, that he's actually on the phone with one of the other writers, like another co-writer.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, talking to him through the whole thing. And he's like, I'm getting ready to cut. I'm getting right. I have to shoot this scene.
It's yeah, the
fucking hilarious.
The series is directed by Jacob Tierney, and Spencer Mabee is the other did have like some minor cameo roles in the series, but is not a major player. But the writing credits come to Jared Kiso, Jacob Tierney, and a bunch of others.
Isn't
well.
J-Rock from Trailer Boys also, or Trailer Park Boys?
Trailer
also?
Park Boys. Oh,
I don't.
Good one.
I really don't know on that
contributor. I know he's the Mennonite. He's one of the dicks.
Nice.
Oh, the dicks.
Yeah.
The dicks. Oh, that was real fun.
Yeah, he's
that
the dad.
That season was real fun.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they did come from the same network. I imagine there is a lot of cross-pollination there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there should be, because those two, that's another amazing
series. That's another
series.
Show that also influenced.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, it was
I always thought that,
for such a
that Letterkenny was like the was a smarter version of Trailer Park Boys.
I think how I've described it to people as well is like, do you like Trailer Park Boys? This is kind of like if Aaron Sorkin wrote Trailer Park Boys, then you get Letterkenny.
Well, there's a lot of wordplay.
There's
a lot of puns. There's, I mean, they did an entire cold opening on based on alliteration, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, there is a not to spoil, but there is a chance you might hear our dumbasses attempting to do similar on this episode.
Oh.
it's very smart if you like. If you like wordplay, if you like speech, it's definitely one of those one of those things that I try and sell people on.
Yeah.
Is that like, hey, this is really, there's a lot of fun things about this.
Yeah.
Dealing with language.
Lacrostitutes. We don't like hockey players. We're lacrostitutes.
But no, exactly. Like this. Seriously, if you like words. If you love words, like this is a show for you, 100%.
Yeah, if you like a script-driven show.
Yeah, script-driven show.
Then this is absolutely... Yeah.
So if you like Tarantino, you would probably dig this show just for that.
Tarantino, Kevin Smith, Joss Whedon, like any of the script-heavy.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've heard him talk about Letterkenny, but if he has not seen the series, this would be his favorite show. Like, this is so up his alley. It's Canadians first, so right there. He's into it super hard. But additionally, you know, like, it's very script-driven, very alliterative, very heavy, dense with dialogue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Because Kevin Smith's really into a Canadian melodrama. Yeah. Also in the girls who say a boot.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've got to be honest, that's what got me into the show. Someone was Crump showed me this 2 years ago on YouTube. I believe it was 2 years ago, and it was the first episode, and it was just a skit of them in front of the very beginning of the episode.
Oh, that was Letterkenny problems, where it wasn't even
Letterkenny problems
show yet,
exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's just them at the stand, and the two hockey players roll up, and they do the whole fight skit, and I'm just like, this is fucking glorious.
Starts off, boys, it's silly time.
Exactly the way they're just bouncing the just off, like it's so quick, so witted, like fuck, man.
That's what I sell people on. That's what I show them when I talk to people about Letterkenny. I'm like, oh my god, have you seen Letterkenny? Are you familiar with it? Do you know about it? I show them that 2 minute clip.
So good.
9 out of 10. I get 9 out of 10 conversions on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You know, of course, you're trying to do it outside of on a phone.
Yeah, right.
Cup of the mic. Yeah.
Starting a cult.
And this is also it was discussed. I don't know if it was on mic or not, but that. Yeah, I did as well. I know, Sean Lucas, you did, where you put on subtitles at the beginnings of. Because not only is the accent's not bad. It really isn't.
No, it isn't.
But it's so quick.
It's so fast.
It's so fast to keep up, especially the early episodes. They got
slang.
Better with that later. And especially the more you watch, the more indoctrinated you are into the language. So you learn what Donnybrook means. You learn
Ten ply. Yeah,
you get all the
parts.
References.
The slang.
As you watch,
yeah.
Yeah, the slang is so...
I mean, it's a little difficult at first.
Yeah, because it takes you 40 minutes to watch an episode. That's 20 minutes because you're stopping and looking things up on Wikipedia, on the internet to figure out what the hell they're talking about. And I come from a hockey background. Like, I played hockey, sat on a bench, have chirped.
Yeah.
Talked shit and still was like, wait, what the fuck are they talking about? Hold on a minute. Yeah.
I'll say I didn't do that. I just kind of let it fly because I know, A, set in Canada, there's clearly going to be slang that I have no fucking idea about. And it will eventually make itself known. So I'll just like miss the joke for that time because it'll be worth it more than having to stop the whole show, which kills the vibe. So I was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna let it ride. I'm just gonna let it ride and I'll figure it out.
I have the ADHD and I am
the ADHD.
I know that comes as a real surprise to anybody who knows
you
me.
You just had to put the "the" in front. Like, yeah, I have the ADHD.
I do that though. I did that even before. I mean, that's something that
no, I know you did. But it just now it's just
well, yeah, it's funny because Trevor K. Wilson does it as Squirrely Dan.
Exactly.
You know? Yep. Oh, the shushis and the shashimis.
And the shashimis.
I have all the time for the shushis and the shashimis.
I don't feel like there should be an S at the
which
end.
Which is
of
so the best because of how much he adds S's to everything else.
Everything.
Ever.
God.
But
damn.
I have the, you know, and a little OCD that comes with that because you're trying to make sense of everything in the world. But so I have to like, oh, wait a minute, I don't understand it. Pause. I need to understand this right now.
I get that. I do get that. And there is a lot of that, especially first season. Like, I feel like they went hard coming out the gate with that stuff.
You are watching Letterkenny episodes like a fucking archaeologist. Like, you're pulling out your Rosetta Stone and like reading down.
I do also have a fedora and a brown leather jacket with a bullwhip and a pistol.
Andy.
Oh, okay.
Letterkenny belongs in a museum.
We have top men working on this.
Yes. Letterkenny belongs in a museum.
Top men.
Holy shit.
That is a good spot for us to take our break. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about what we're drinking, which will be a lot.
Holy fuck balls. Oh, Jesus.
And, we came strong on this episode and also do a drunken scene and get back into Letterkenny. So stick around. We have plenty of things to keep you busy during the holiday season here in December from Geeks Under the Influence and our friends around town in Richmond, Virginia. So let's get to it. First off, of course, is Punks for Presents is back for their 14th year, and there's a bunch of shows coming your way in the Richmond area. Friday the 13th, we've got Punks for Presents Night 3 at Wonderland for a night of cover bands and craziness, also supporting the Children's Hospital. Then on the 14th, Saturday the 14th, we got the Camel with night 4 of Punks for Presents. Then finally on the 19th of December, we've got Gritty City for the Kids, some hip-hop at the Camel. Then the 23rd, we are back on a off week from Trivia normally, the 23rd of December for Fallout Trivia at Fallout with Geeks Under the Influence. Then again on the 30th, so we've got the Christmas Eve Trivia, and then we've got New Year's Eve trivia with Geeks Under the Influence, both at Fallout. Then we've got Busky Comedy on the 27th of December with Carlton Kay at Busky Cidery. I was just at the last one. Tons of great local comics doing amazing stuff. Come and check out Busky Comedy. It's a great room for comedy, and it's free. Then on the 31st of December, New Year's Eve, we've got the New Year's Eve Bash at Strange Ways in RVA, where you can get some variety show action, some burlesque, some sexiness, and enjoy ringing in the new year with burlesque right meow. And I might even see a few Geeks Under the Influence panelists and friends out there as well. So that is our list of things in December. Check your calendars. Follow all this info at GUIpodcast.com. Follow all our social media, and we'll see you at the events. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Letterkenny. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad. There it is. I got it. Yeah. I actually got it that time.
Yay.
Before we get into the rest of Letterkenny, we got to talk about our sponsors a little bit. The people that make this show work, the ones that give us the money so we can use it for storage fees, equipment, booze, all the other stuff. And our first one, it's perfect for this time of year. We're talking Amazon.com.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of stuff that you're going to be purchasing over the holiday season for your friends and family. Just make sure you do it through the link in the upper right-hand corner at GUIpodcast.com. It's on the homepage. Shop Amazon. Go through that link, and anything you purchase, we get credit for it. We are telling you to shop Amazon through the link, and then Amazon's like, cool, that's great that you told people to do that. Here's money. It works out really well, and you're going to be doing it anyway, because who wants to fight the lines at the store?
I'm fleshing out my full winter reading list through you guys, so...
Cool. Nice. Appreciate that.
I like money.
Yeah, money is nice. We would like to make some by doing
like
this dumb
reading.
Thing. We are getting close to 5 years of doing this show, and this is not a free hobby. This is something that costs money
no.
to do.
No, it is not free.
No,
especially
hobby
with as
free.
Much as we drink.
Yeah, with
Holy
drinking.
Cats.
Yeah, it's like recording equipment aside, the booze alone.
The booze alone. God.
And like you really pulled out all the stops on this. by the way. This he should have stopped on this.
You spent a full $18 on those three bottles.
Yes, yes, I did.
Exactly.
We've got some very interesting choices for the what we're drinking segment that I was able to procure because of how much is being spent on Amazon through our link at GUIpodcast.com. So if you want us to continue to get completely annihilated on these shows or buy good beer instead of cheap beer, then we deeply appreciate it. Just shop through the link. And that's your little gift to us here at Geeks Under the Influence, is just literally buying gifts for other people and just making sure you do it through our link. We appreciate it deeply, and it helps a whole lot. So, and tell your friends, bookmark the link after you go through it, so that just every time you hit Amazon, you're going through our link. And the next one is a way for you to get merch to shove on your friends and family that maybe listen or don't listen to Geeks Under the Influence or any of the other shows on the network. We're talking TeePublic.com.
Yes, the t-shirts are fantastic.
Give it to them anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got so many designs, and not all of them are even GUI Network specific. We've got a lot of like mashup shirts and stuff that you don't actually have to be a fan of the network to appreciate the designs. We've got the Manhattan Development, where it's...
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, we've got the Fuck Michael Bay shirt.
Yes.
Y'all motherfuckers need Odin.
Y'all motherfuckers need Odin is a shirt that we have
Cthulhu,
on there.
Cthulhu.
The Cthulhu GUI design. I love that. That was so popular that we decided not to take it off the page after the Halloween that it was part of. Same thing for... We have all the Halloween designs up. We're going to run that through the holiday season.
Nice.
So it's still available. After the first of the year, we're dropping those.
The Ouija board.
Except the Ouija board is selling so well, and that's been so much appreciated. We're keeping the Ouija board design on.
I love that.
Just as a regular design on our page.
And they make that shirt so soft.
Oh, it's great.
Who would have thought that the design with our two dumb fucking faces would be the one that's selling shit?
Somebody needs to make a Ouija board with that.
Have you guys made a shirt about Anthony and his love for socks and sandals yet?
No, but that would be...
Socks and sandals needs to be a design.
That should be a design. I might have to work on that.
Make socks with that design.
Or sandals like strapped on across the sock. Oh, man.
I think we have a new design idea for Beautiful Disasters.
I think we do.
Yeah.
The Anthony Groot special.
The Anthony Groot special for sure.
Herr Groot special.
So, Herr Groot.
In addition to that, if there is some inside joke from our shows or some reference that we made that you think would be a great choice for a shirt, hit us up on geeksundertheinfluence@gmail.com. Our hotline number at 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. Our social media, send us a message, whatever. We're more than interested in what you think would work for a shirt. We'll throw some shit together. We'll make it work.
You pay for a phone line because of this stuff?
Well, not pay for is a hard term. We have a phone line.
Even more reason to hit up that Amazon link.
Mm.
Exactly. We have a lot of expenditures.
Gotta pay for that phone line, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
It's not cheap.
No, it's definitely not cheap.
99 cents the first minute.
Yeah, right?
$4.99.
That's the next move is after the first year.
Michelle, what kind of work did you use?
It's really 1-900. Because 900.
876.
Yeah.
Do you have any recordings of this? I'm asking for a friend, of course.
Yeah. Do you nerds want to get off?
Oh, my God.
This is not that kind of Wendy's, ma'am.
Holy shit.
So those are our sponsors for Geeks Under the Influence. The next one up is talking about the fluids that we put in our body, like much like jet fuel, to get us moving forward.
We go straight from that to fluids.
To fluids, yes.
It's the catalyst.
It catalyzes all this terrible and ridiculous and amazing conversation on this one with Letterkenny. We're talking about... what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Fucking time. Like, I'm just so not used to that being there every fucking time.
Yeah, we have one where Bo from Avail did it when he was on the show, and we just added that, and I occasionally throw it in just to fuck with people.
Oh, was that Bo?
That was Bo, yeah.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
He was just like, we're fucking drinking.
Oh, that's so good.
He did a little tap dancey thing,
too. Yeah, it was fucking...
Didn't pick up on the mic.
He hated all of that,
Bob.
Of course he did.
He hated all of it.
He's Bo. He hates everything. Yeah. Have you talked to him?
Yes, have you read his Facebook post?
He does.
Speaking of hating everything, there is definitely some stuff we're going to be drinking that all of us are going to hate.
I hate you.
I was so evil with my choices for the share. But let's get into the good shares first. The first one up is the lowdown choice. What did you bring to the table?
I brought some East Coast local like I do. You know, this is Hardywood's Rye Barrel GBS. So for those that don't know what GBS is, that is gingerbread stout. It is their yearly holiday tradition. Starts in November and they with the regular GBS, and then they drop a fuck ton of variants all the way through the end of the year. And this rye barrel is from the first drop of when they tried the rye barrel GBS in 2017. So it's been sitting for a couple of years, and man, it's fucking good. It's a whopping 10.6%.
Yeah,
this is a dick kicker.
Really good, yeah.
And you will feel that.
Yeah, there is a little bit of burn on it. You can tell that there's alcohol in it. It's not so flavor heavy that you're missing out on the booze part. Yeah. But it's really definitely smooth. Not as much as you would expect from a 10.6 or
And you said a little bit of burn. That was so amplified when you bought it and drank it at the release. So sitting for 2 years. Definitely way chill.
Laid it down
because we all know rye whiskey is
a lot
more spice. So that's going to come out right in the barreling process. So
most of us here are rye whiskey fans.
I love a good rye whiskey.
Yeah.
So the fact that it is just a little bit of spice, so where it's just a nice little nuance, is where you want it at. Because I'm telling you, this motherfucker was like fire.
It's a little spicy still, even after a few years laid down.
Punch.
It's still got a little punch.
Spicy.
It's tasty. It is tasty for sure.
Spice. Yeah, I'm a fan. I got one more bottle of this year's release at the house.
Damn. All right.
That's good stuff.
And then Michelle was nice enough to bring a little tasty treat for us as well.
Deschutes Black Butte, 27th Birthday Reserve. Mm-hmm. Actually, Black Butte was referred to, or recommended to me by a friend of mine. I've been to the Boonville Beer Festival in Mendocino, California quite a few times, and Deschutes always nails it.
Nice.
And when he suggested that, I was like, yeah, okay, awesome. And Total Drunk happened to have the 27th birthday reserve. So I was like,
nice.
Bonus.
So is this
Total Drunk?
Asian Standard Barrel, bourbon barrels, or? Okay. Because I'm getting that. Getting all the bourbon barrel in this.
Yeah, this is definitely a heavier hitter, which...
And it's a West Coast.
Fortunately, it's a colder evening tonight in Richmond. We never know day to day. We don't know what it's going to be, whether it's going to be summer, fall, or winter.
You don't know that in fucking February. State. Jesus Christ.
But it is a colder day, which the two choices that we've had so far definitely lean towards that winter drinking kind of weather. Yeah. The heavier beers, a little higher octane.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm super
I'm
ready.
I'm fucking ready.
For sure.
Welcome to global warming.
climate
change and living in between the jet streams.
Yeah.
Which
hey, we get to live in a historical moment, so don't complain.
Oh, not, who's complaining? I'm just...
Not the greatest historical moment.
I'm not complaining. I'm just telling people
like
who
the dinosaurs got smacked with a meteor. I mean, you know, whatever. Here we are. We're next.
Hey, what's that thing coming out of the sky?
Yeah.
Is it coming near us? Oh, shit.
No. The dinosaur's like, what's that pretty light? And the apes were like, fuck, hide.
I don't move that fast. I'm a brontosaurus.
Yeah, right. You're a brona nothing now.
fucking brona burgers.
Brona burgers,
Sean Lucas, you brought a thematic choice as well.
Well, yeah, because we're talking about Letterkenny, so I brought Molson Canadian. I really wanted to find Labatt's, but I couldn't find any. And when I say I couldn't find any, they didn't have any at Once Upon a Vine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, they just had this. I probably could have gone to
Total Drunk,
as you called it, which I like that.
I like that. Total Wine is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
And I could have gotten it, but it would have been cold, or it would have been warm. Not cold. It would have been warm.
Yeah. Been on the shelf.
Yeah, been on the shelf. Yeah. And so I paid probably a couple of dollars extra to get it nice and cold, and that's fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Small Business Saturday, so...
Oh, for sure.
Fair enough, yes.
Yeah, by the way, sponsored by American Express, which, by the way, doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No, not at all.
Speaking of small business, I do want to shout out a little bit here, because everything I bought yesterday was by an independent company. Fuck supporting big corporations on Black Friday. Support the little man. Just saying, I bought like some red ass horror shirts. I bought some beard
stuff. Just make sure you support them through Amazon.com through our link.
Well, they weren't on Amazon, so that wasn't going to happen.
Kidding.
Sorry. No, I get what you're saying.
Now you need an Etsy link.
One day somebody needs to address the fact that Black Friday came from the retail workers talking about how a horrible experience they had to deal with, and now it is a total corporate thing.
Yep.
It has been totally appropriated, and it's like, this was our word.
This is our word. You can't use that word. Yeah. It's our word.
Yeah, this was our word.
I vote to tailgate Black Friday from now on. Just go out there with beers. Oh my God, just tailgate. Ooh,
hang out in a Walmart parking lot, get hammered.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds kind of amazing.
Just to watch.
Yeah, 4 a.m. at Walmart. Like,
damn right.
Just like slinging beers, some puppers.
And you just don't go to sleep.
Some Gus and Brews, some puppers.
And you haven't gone to sleep from the meal. You're just like, you took a little rest, watched some TV, and they're like, we're going to go hammer.
I'm still shit hammered from the night before. Fuck it. We're just going to roll right into it.
I know you guys are like talking to put off what the next share is.
Yes,
absolutely,
we are. Fucking dog
you figured
shit,
it out.
Seriously, dude.
Three mini shots. In line with Letterkenny, there is an episode that was discussing some leftovers.
Season 2, episode 3, I think.
Something along those lines. Yeah, where they talked about having creme de menthe, butter ripple, and a blue carousel. And that is what we're about to sip down on this episode. Mm. So.
You know now, that Guns N' Roses song, Used to Love Her?
Yeah. Well, that was a cover, actually, on the Spaghetti Incident.
Now, if you put this all together, they refer to it as donkey juice. And of course,
do that. I just want to do that.
You can mix it if you want.
Donkey juice.
You know what donkey juice does, though, right?
Gets people pregnant.
No,
oh,
donkey
it's staining the cup. Oh. Oh.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! It is.
Oh, it super is.
It's
Holy
totally shit. Staining
new,
everything.
New.
Oh.
Donkey juice will make you spit.
What was that energy beer?
Now we can spit.
Do you guys remember that orange energy beer? That shit will stain your
sparks.
Insides.
Sparks.
Yeah. That was it.
But
yep.
Spit. Sparks. Spit doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean spit. It
Puke.
Means yes.
Yeah. Puke, yeah.
Mm. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So,
yeah.
All three of these are
the
De Kuyper. De Kuyper brand liqueurs or schnapses.
You did that.
Lowdown mixed all three together. So we're going to let him do that first. So if he has to run away from the microphone and
you're
puke.
Brave.
Oh, no. For those listening, the faces he's making
are
pretty fucking fantastic.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe.
And he did it. He did it. He took the shot. Of all three mixed together.
God.
And
brave
I
man.
Think he might die. I think he might actually. Oh my. And
he just
me.
Hit you.
Real hard. That
yeah,
actually,
that had some that I'm had some stink on
really
it.
Really mad at you for that. That's so disgusting.
All right.
That had some stink on
you
it.
You did it to yourself, sir.
No. He brought this to shares. He deserves that.
Yeah,
everyone
the,
deserves to
the
punch him.
The creme de menthe is the first one for
oh,
me.
Oh, fucking
oh,
A.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Here we go.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah, one at a time. Oh, that just tastes like fucking mouthwash.
Fuck, I haven't even.
Oh,
now the blue carousel is the next one.
Oh,
that's torch.
Oh God, that's just like spoiled Kool-Aid.
Oh no.
For those unfamiliar, this is stuff you're supposed to be mixing with other booze. This is not stuff.
These
you should
are mixers.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be taking these by themselves.
Like orange juice, no one drinks this shit
oh,
by
my
itself.
God, this is the worst.
No, I love orange juice.
Now the butter ripple is the next.
So I did small sips of all three, and then I poured the rest into one because.
Hey, so when you do that,
oh God,
it's okay. Move the mic now. So when you want to punch him, you can reach.
So So it was just like because if Steven did it,
here it comes.
It's a little bit of peer pressure.
I mean, that's on you, bro.
Also,
hey,
I don't want
the hatch, buddy.
Also, don't want my friends to be miserable by themselves.
Yeah, that's fair.
Misery does love company.
Aww, you love us. You really love
there he goes.
Us.
Oh,
he's
God.
It and...
Why is it worse watching somebody else do it?
How was it? How was the donkey juice?
It's not good.
No, not good. But honestly, most of it is masked by the creme de menthe.
That is true.
Yeah. Cream still taste
is
that.
Very, yeah. It's even after, very minty. That was the first one that I took, and one, that yeah. kind of still masked the rest of the flavors.
Nobody heard this, but I did the double tap with the shot glass, which I've been doing since I started watching the show. Because every time they do a shot, it's a double tap.
Yep.
And I do that all the time now, and I've actually gotten people to join me in doing that don't even watch the show, which
That's
is really awesome.
Awesome. That's rad. And I just want to ask them, are you okay? That was like a knee-jerk reaction, because I'm so mad.
I am actually okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just saying, because like that was,
to
I was not
fair.
Happy about
yeah, that.
To be fair.
He deserved it.
Aha!
Also, it wasn't so much that I was like, I can't use this arm anymore, so much as I didn't expect you to go with that level of power when he punched me.
It was gross, dude.
He's a big dude, and there was a lot of anger behind that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he definitely... I was told a story by that punch.
Well, I mean, Steven does like to pick up heavy things and then put them down again.
And I do like to punch things, too.
Yeah,
he's like
that.
A ska song.
Hey, well, I felt like I was being lifted up.
He puts him down and picks him up.
I feel like I was being lifted up, and then all of a sudden, she just brought
you
me
got
back
put down.
Yeah. Pick it up, pick
like
it up,
a
pick
ska
it up.
Song.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now that we're properly lubricated by super high octane beer and really
and corn
liquor,
syrup, yeah. fucking shots. Corn syrup.
Yep. Yeah. We're going into our next segment, which is making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
So, I cannot guarantee we'll get through this. Probably, likely, we won't get all the way through it. But the way we're going to do this is that we are going to go through the alphabetical thing from the shed episode of, I think, season 3.
Season 3, episode 1.
Yeah, where we're going to go through they go alphabetically through references. And we're just going to do it clockwise and get around. So this is less so about us doing voices and impressions during this so much as just trying to get the flow of it down after drinking as much as we just did. So,
tip of the penis, the bass, and the balls. Tip of the penis, the bass, and the balls.
Yeah, we gotta work out our
unique
mouths.
New York. Unique New York.
Sally sells seashells by
no,
the
I like, that one. Like, tip of the penis, the bass, and the balls. That one kind of rolls.
Yeah, that's
tip of the penis, the shaft, and the balls.
Shaft.
That's nice.
Shaft.
If you really want to mix it up. I don't have that. No, those shots just killed that.
All
right, so I'm going to start with the letter A, and then we're going to be going clockwise. So Lowdown, you're next up. So you'll get B.
Fuck.
Sean Lucas, you're C. Michelle, D. Back to me, E. And then we just keep going around.
All right.
So this
let's
is,
do okay, this.
Fine. Let's see how far we can get. And if at one point we're cracking up super hard, that's just the break point. That's where we just cut away and, just give
let's
up.
Let's see how far we can make it.
Yeah, because this is the whole alphabet. If we make it, that's going to be amazing, but likely we're not going to. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. After Autumn asked anyone around the area about accuracy, Arctic activities are abundant, astonishing, astounding, and A1 on all accounts.
Back up. But before beach bodies, bros better bundle up in boots, blankets, and balaclavas because a bloody bitter breeze will blow brisk, blustery, and bleak.
Careful, correct, and common to cocoon in a cap, coat, and comforter because a cutting cold can consume your character, occasionally create a corpse, and continually compress your cock.
God damn it.
Don't you dare dawdle, dilly-dally, or dick around after dark in December. She's definitely damn drafty if you're down a duvet.
Easily, each and every earthling's environmentally enslaved.
Fact, it's fucking freezing. It's friggin' frigid. You're fit for flu in February without fleece, flannel, full-fledged furnace, or fire.
Go on, it's goddamn glacial. Go grab gloves or garb and gear up for gusts.
Hear ya, hypothermia, if you don't heat your home. And to have hellish, it's harsh. Hibernate in a hoodie, hot chocolate, Harry and the Hendersons.
Infinitely icy, inhabit indoors, isolated and insulated, incubating the igloo, illness is an issue, influenza implied, infections imminent, immunity is impossible.
Just joking, just Josh and jargon. It ain't jail. Jackets in January, no jigsaw.
Keep calm, killjoys keep comfy in the kingdom, crashing kilos of Kleenex, keen for cozy kayaking with their kids, where the key is killing kegs with your kin.
Literally, losers live life locked in their lairs, lingering lazy, lifeless, lost like legit loners, while the leaders in larger learning let loose. Muff.
Muff. Muff. So that's mine. Muff. Earmuffs, mittens, and mucus medicine till mighty maniacal Mother Nature makes milder, mellower, and meltier moves. Motivate your mates like the Moose Mark Messier. Maybe mix a martini for your maiden if you met your match. Jesus.
Nature. Naturally nippy, but that's nothing new up north. Normal naturistic narrative, not national views.
News. Overcast. Overcoats and overshoes, obviously.
Polar parkas and pullovers, particularly.
Tried quail? A quantity of quail quilts is quaint and quasi-quintessential to avoiding quivering and quarreling if quarantined to one's quarters. Try quail.
Reindeer, well, not raw rookie, in a rosemary rubbed roast with radish wrapped in rich, rare bacon after removing Rudolph's red nose.
Sledding, so we're sound. Sled's a synonym for snowmobiles, and snowmobile's a synonym for sled. So a sled is a snowmobile, and a snowmobile's a sled. Super?
Trust a traditional turtleneck to maintain toasty temperature over time.
Ugly, useful.
Vile, valuable.
Whatever, whiteouts and wind chills. Walk it off, whiners. Withdraw whimpering and wake up, wankers. Wrathful wicked weather, whether woolens or waterproof wardrobe. Warm your wet workwear by the wood stove. Winter is wonderful, wild and wide.
Exactly. Exceptionally.
Yep. Yeah.
0 degrees? Well, sub-zero, zip it.
Yes, we fucking did it.
Oh my God, we
Holy
made it.
Shit balls, man. Holy shit. Are you fucking kidding?
Michelle, God, you did miss it. Terrific.
Did I miss terrific?
Oh, terrific.
If that's you know the what? One thing we missed, I think
Seriously?
We're okay.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
You can kiss my terrific.
Yo,
is that an invitation?
GUI just went hard as fuck.
That's maybe the hardest we've ever gone for a fucking drunken scene
Christ.
Before. Holy
By
shit.
By the way, the W's, was that wasn't easy. I mean, it would have been easier 10 minutes ago, but it wasn't easy now.
No. The Jews would not have been easy. Just reading that was hard.
After that right? creme de menthe buzz that I got going.
Yeah, it's the creme de menthe. That's what it's doing.
I can still taste it.
That's the fucking nausea.
Yeah,
Let's
no
keep
shit.
Poking,
oh, yeah, keep
fucking,
poking the stomach. Yeah,
fuck you. You're the one that brought that shit.
It tastes like burning.
Lowdown is so salty.
I am a salty bitch. You are correct.
But he's also minty.
Mm. Yeah, everyone's minty now. Minty.
He's like a Salt Bay.
So we got to get back into Letterkenny. And, all right. Yeah. So
all right.
Let's talk a little bit about the storyline, because we've talked about the nature of the show a lot, but we haven't really gotten into the story progression. Whereas by the time that Hulu, for those unfamiliar with this aspect of it, Hulu ordered a 7th season.
Yeah.
Yes.
And with the 7th season, they left the 6th season where it looked like there was going to be a proposal imminent. Yeah. And then as we went into 7th season, it was clear that yes was said. And there was very subtle suggestions of wedding planning that was happening. And it moved forward in the way that I think they did it most brilliantly, that it fit like Wade's like nature, where he didn't make a big deal out of it.
Right. Yeah.
That he wasn't like, hey, look at me as an engaged person. It was more like, yep, we're engaged. Like, that's going to be a thing that happens. Just very matter of
the
fact about it.
The natural progression of things.
Absolutely. And that's kind of how it continued. And I want to kind of put it out to the rest of the panelists. Do you think the 7th season still absolutely fit the tone, or if it just kind of like...
I really feel like they missed the mark a little bit, because they got to that one hockey episode. That was my favorite episode of the whole season. That was like the one that really caught.
And that was mostly not main characters either. That was a lot of
the
side characters.
Shorzy chirps were a little weak.
Yeah.
For this season.
I really did like the buildup of the season.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, Kraken Egg was hilarious.
The Kraken Egg stuff is great. Episode 3 with Nuts. Where they're all basically sitting there judging
judging Dan's porn watching.
Yes.
Oh my God. That episode is fucking amazing.
It's so.
And they start talking about their own interests in porn. And
because that happens in real life.
Well, I've absolutely
house.
Had those conversations with friends about what porn
might need
into.
To hang out with you at your house a little more.
No, I've definitely had those conversations with friends about like what porn you watch and what you're mm-hmm. into and stuff. I've had those conversations
what
where
porn
people
we've
being
been
wild.
In. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, been in?
Yeah.
Go to GYpodcast.com if you click
all the links
to go to Amazon and then you email us that you bought like at least $1,200 from Amazon through our link, then we will send you a special link, which is just Michelle giving you the middle finger. So
naked.
Naked.
I was gonna say naked topless. Just damn.
Okay, that makes middle it finger. Porn.
I can have one incel. It's like where's my video? I didn't get the video.
I didn't get.
Oh no, don't look me up on Facebook.
If they look up Michelle Left Eye, I don't think they're going to find anything. So I think you're good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that episode's fantastic. It's just it's
ridiculous. Yeah.
It's yeah. Sure. I mean, I think what they usually do is that they address something at the beginning of the season and then they kind of splinter off.
And do their own things, and they come back
and then,
to
and
that
then it
point.
Comes back.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Especially yeah. now that we know that Dan likes attentions to his buttholes. So his yeah. porn watching
his
habits
yeah.
have to be interesting. How can they not be?
For sure.
But the way they just
especially
all
with his women's
said,
studies class.
Yeah.
The way they all said, nut.
Yes.
Nut. Was just you know it was so good. It was all it kind of harkens back to the yes.
That was actually what I was looking for us to do for Drunken Scene is to do that scene, and I couldn't find like a really good quote online.
We could have just riffed that one.
We probably
that
would have
been
have.
Easy.
Yeah.
Oh my
but
God!
Honestly,
oh my God.
I'm so proud of us for our drunken scene for this.
Oh, month. That was fantastic!
We crushed.
That was amazing.
We got it all the way through that motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
I've
all
done
the way
a
through.
Few of those, and they've never ever gone according to plan. They usually go off the rails within 30 seconds, and
yeah.
that one pretty much stuck.
Fucking crushed.
It's crushed. Yeah. So you know, I think high fives all around.
I'm so
yeah.
Proud
yeah.
Of
yeah.
Us.
Yay! That calls
oh
for another
God.
Drink.
Oh
Oh my God! Oh fuck!
Oh fuck!
Yes, 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 yes!
what I do love about the Dan, the squirrely Dan, is that it definitely sets up in early episodes, and you don't see it as much in the later episodes. That he's like this very cuddly, adorable dude.
I want a squirrely.
But
Dan.
When it goes to fighting, it's like there's a darkness in that dude that like they haven't even properly like approached
Saint
yet.
Saint Perfect's Day.
Yes,
yeah,
same purpose.
Yeah.
And he like
yeah.
just fucking yeah.
There's a darkness in him where he goes full bore, and that's not the only time either. There's a few times that he's just been like, "I'm ready to murder." Like
the wedding,
just, and also
we
when,
don't fight at weddings.
We don't fight at weddings.
Yes.
The standoff with the natives too, where he gets fucking like he's got his hands on his on it, his fucking overalls, and he's
just
like ready
yes.
to fucking riot.
Yes.
And honestly, the Saint Perfect's Day thing, it wasn't him. It was what's his face.
The other guy that came
yeah.
in and was like, this is the leprechaun.
Legendary. You were
well,
legendary.
There was legendary, yeah. Legendary was
legendary
was a big
solid.
Deal. But
yeah.
you gotta remember, Squirrely Dan came in when the guy that was dressed as the leprechaun got picked on.
Yeah, but he just picked up the suit
outfit.
And put it on. He
uh-huh.
just put it
and that's
put the outfit
when
on, yeah.
Threw the candy on the floor and was going to get
and,
into the tilly.
But
and
no, he got
he saw legendary.
No, see, he got in the tilly with the sandwich dude, and the sandwich
oh,
dude was
yeah.
choking him out.
Yep.
The other dude saved him. He was bitching out. He was about to tap out. Like, he said, I was about to tap out like some surly girl. Like, that's what he said.
I do also love that the legendary aspect of that episode,
oh,
that Derry has no recollection
no
of
recollection
it whatsoever.
Of the night before,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
like
nope.
fucking epic.
And he
yeah.
thought that he blacked out and like, fucked everything up. No,
no
he
was
blacked
like
out and
a
was
fucking
a hero.
Legend.
But he kept,
he
but everything,
legend.
Everything he had to do kept fucking going back to the dude in the sandwich.
Yes,
he kept fucking that dude up, man.
That's that. We briefly mentioned We Don't Fight at Weddings, season 5, episode 1,
yes.
which is one of my favorites for a couple of reasons. One,
gay marriage on TV.
Yes, absolutely.
And not only gay marriage on TV, but like the Hicks.
The Hicks and the gay marriage,
Hicks are like super into it. Like
super
into it.
With don't give a shit Ronzi and Daxie are getting married and everybody's fucking stoked.
Yep.
And I quote Wade, "Well, as long as everyone's happy, there's no reason to be a poopy butt."
Yeah.
I love it so much.
And that the first dance is Peaches.
Fuck the pain away.
Fuck the pain away.
Oh, fuck the pain away.
Which is a weird choice for a male gay marriage because it's like such sucking on my titty.
But
like
have you seen the video?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
There's some cross dressing in the video.
Oh, okay.
So okay.
It's suitable.
And so the Cityots are getting their ass kicked to Fuck the Pain Away while everybody's dancing. At the wedding, those who were still there are dancing at the wedding, and the Cityots, "Hey, did you come in your sled bud? Did it have a hemi bud?" those guys are getting their asses kicked six ways a Sunday, and everybody else is dancing. It's awesome. It's definitely a fun episode because Wayne is just like, has no tolerance for the Cityots whatsoever.
No.
And he's just like, "But we don't fight at weddings."
I have to. Steven might have an idea of what episode that I'm going to be bringing up. That I have to bring it up because of how deeply I love this actor, who just even though there are no cameos really at all during the entire
season
series,
4. I know where you're going.
Yeah. Well, so J-Rock. Yeah. J-Rock's kind of a cameo.
No,
yeah.
No, but he's
when
some
he
of
played
the
dick.
But some of the fucking
this was a blatant
shit
cameo.
Fucking...
And apparently what it came to is that this gentleman was such a big fan of the series that he got his agent to contact them to be involved because he just wanted to be on. And they just put him in as a character that they had been working on that happened to share the first name as one legendary performer, the best actor out of Canada. My hetero life.
That's arguable now. I'm sorry, dude.
Hetero life, it's mate.
The best actor out of Canada is really, really arguable now because
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah.
Jay Baruchel. Hard right, Jay.
Right.
I'm wearing a Violent Gentleman Enforce Halifax T-shirt.
Yes.
From Goon.
Wait. They make a shirt for Goon?
They did. They made merch for Goon 2.
And of course Sean Lucas would
have it. Oh, that's rad. Goon 2, didn't like as much as Goon, but
still. Not a bad movie.
No, not bad, not the first one.
Yeah, and I have a pullover sweatshirt from them, too, with the Halifax,
that's
Halifax
fucking rad,
Highlanders.
Do you
all
have the stuff
was that like a limited
and
shit?
I did not get an
sticker.
Angus. I did
Which,
not get
way,
an official
yeah.
Angus.
The carryover is that's Jay Baruchel co-wrote both films, and he directed the second one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is a limited time thing. I'm assuming it's
like you could check the website, but I think they're probably out of them.
God, I love fucking Goon. It's so good.
It's so good.
So good.
Also, Jay Baruchel has written for Captain Canuck, the
oh, yeah.
character.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
You just
like promoting Jay Baruchel now?
Yeah,
is that what's happening?
He's so deeply Canadian that it makes
no
sense that he would
Kenny
that if he was unable to appear on Trailer Park
it's
Boys,
Jay Baruchel.
It makes it. It's the Jay Bear Show. That's coming soon to Geeks on the Influence Network, the Jay Bear Show.
Never. It'd be a one-man army.
I mean, I'll do it.
Hey,
fucking test me.
I'm not.
We'll do it. I have the access code.
I'll let you sit in your own misery.
He's got a fan.
If you ever get to meet Jay Bear Show, how do you like, in a nice, not awkward way, ask him to give him a handy?
Right? Seriously. You know you want to.
Because really?
No, it's not even a handy. I just...
A blowy?
No, just a hug.
A little bit of French fries.
A mouth hug?
It's fine.
Look, it's Jay Baruchel. He's an otherworldly creature. I would not begin to think
offer
that
him
he...
full dress chips.
That he would have time for me to sexually enjoy him. I would just only hope that a creature such as him would give enough time for me to get a quick hug.
I'm sorry. I said a handy. What I meant to say was the Canadian slang, which is a squeezer.
Squeezer. Yeah.
Squeezer in the parking lot.
4 minutes later is a squeezer.
Yeah. But yeah, he did show up as Hard Right Jay, and he chewed every ounce of fucking scenery during the entire fucking episode.
Yes, he did.
And he was very Jay Baruchel the entire time. I think he has one mode, and that's Jay Baruchel. He plays himself. He doesn't do method. He's not a method actor.
Much like Danny McBride, who plays himself.
Or, seriously, though.
Or John Cusack is always John Cusack. Like, there are actors that are just their person. Like, they're
when he shows up at the hockey rink and gets the girls started.
Mm-hmm.
And but, Jonesy and Riley are like, we just got them to be quiet.
Yeah. But I also love when he goes against the natives at the end. And ooh, they get Tana's just fucking
rocks his
wrecked.
Clock.
That's not a good look.
Yeah, no.
And look, I'm not stoked about Jay Baruchel getting beat, but the character he's portraying, I was like cheering so hard. Just the natives being like, oh yeah, we're not doing the whole like politically correct so bullshit. Well. We're going to murder you. Yeah. Like, you're going to get destroyed.
It was very timely, too. Because it came in like right around the time, or maybe 2017, sometime around the election. I don't exactly remember because of all the terrible ass stuff.
Yeah, terrible news we've drank.
But it was very timely as far as like everything being right wing and that kind of person in North America.
It
definitely
really
made a lot of sense.
Climate. Yeah.
What I also loved is something that I've had a lot of conversations with friends about how you deal with alt-right or Nazi fucks. And I love that Letterkenny kind of is treated it the same way that I agree that you have to treat it, is that you want to dance around and be like, well, no, we fight with words. No, fuck you. A Nazi gets a boot.
Yeah.
Nazi gets a boot.
A racist gets fucking hammered down. Yep. You don't waste time on conversation. If somebody is suggesting that an entire race or races needs to be destroyed, then you destroy what's left of their face.
From it. Wait, what did he call Tana's? Pocahontas?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And also, Tana's, bad look.
Of all people. Yeah. No. Oh, buddy, you didn't know what you just signed up for.
And that actress actually grew up on a reservation.
Yeah, she's
in Ottawa.
She kills it for being. And that's what I also love about Letterkenny is that the main actresses that are main players are all super fucking strong independent women.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I love that even with Katie, she likes fucking.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, she does.
But busy winner.
But they do not like shame her for that.
No, not at all.
And they also don't like sex her like overly sex her up either.
No, exactly. No.
You know what I mean? Like not like the point where
they
would have.
They're
in
very
80s,
wide open right. about the fact that like people want to have sex and it's okay. And it, like they're very progressive minded in the approach to this show. It's even with the Hicks and shit that clearly brother is not stoked about her going out and having sex all the time, like literally any brother ever.
But he accepts it. But
and especially with the hockey fucking douche nozzles.
He hated the hockey players.
Oh. But I love that it's very progressive minded to the point where even like even Tannis is like destroying Nazis.
Yep.
Like fucking taking them down. It's so good.
Yes.
So there's that episode where I think it's season maybe 4, possibly 5, where Tannis and Wayne kind of do the whole thing about like the whole thing through a date,
and then she gets pregnant.
Oh yeah.
No, well,
remember that she got pregnant.
She did get pregnant,
and then she had the abortion. And Wayne was like,
that
"I
really
respect."
Fucking casual. Yeah, too.
Very casual.
But there was the one where she was like,
"He said I respect
like, they're
your
at
decision."
Dinner, and she spits, and he goes, "What was that?"
What I'm standing here.
No, the other thing.
I'm breathing.
Oh. Yeah, sometimes they spit. Ladies don't spit, but I'm not the one the kind of person that tells a lady what's to do.
Yep.
What's to do?
Or what to do? And I'm sorry.
But what's to do?
Also touched on, and that's actually where I had I loved the series up to that episode, but when I had a deep respect for how the episode treated stuff is the abortion.
They didn't
episode.
Make it. They didn't make a big deal out of it.
Did not.
They didn't make a political point.
No.
Nope, so just
not
speak.
At all.
It was very subtle and
it fit with the characters
point.
Too. That like he's never been a political character. She was ready to like knock
down,
drag out,
throw
like,
down.
Fuck you, Hick. This is my decision. I get to make this decision.
And he was
and then once,
like, I respect
once that he was like, I respect that, she was like, I'm kind of almost mad that like I was prepared to deal with this shit.
To fight you.
I mean, ultimately, like, I'm super stoked that we don't have to have any kind of weird qualms about this. But...
Yeah. So everybody in this town wants to fuck Wayne. Everyone wants to fuck Wayne.
Dude, it's
Bonnie
ridiculous.
Bonnie
McMurray wants to fuck Wayne.
That is the way we lead out on this episode, is that I deeply want the last episode they ever do of the show for him to get with Bonnie McMurray.
No. Dude, she's like the most annoying.
No, I really like Bonnie McMurray.
I do too.
Bonnie McMurray's great.
No, just shout
out
to me.
I love Bonnie
single.
McMurray.
That
yeah.
way no one gets in trouble.
Yeah. But Bonnie McMurray, Gail, who, by the way, is there are not.
I mean,
we haven't talked about Gail at all.
Coats aren't as horny as Gail.
Hold on. I got characters crossed. I was thinking of Gail. No, Bonnie, like, especially with the, what was it, the Halloween episode where she kept coming out in different costumes?
Oh my God.
So, hey, Bonnie, you go into the thing for the, to save the fucking whatever the fuck in the rainforest and shit.
And she's just literally, like, just the kindest, most like, amazing fucking human being ever.
And he's like, good on you. Yeah, enjoy yourself. I'm like, what the fuck?
And everybody else is Bonnie McMurray.
What did they say when she wore the when she wore the baseball outfit? He was just like my something's fucking home run or something. Like, it's fucking stupid. Or like, or she wore like all these different costumes.
Uh-huh.
And every time, one of the few had something to, like, sexually
some
smart
sexual
to say
reference,
about
yeah.
it. I'm like, that's fucking glorious.
Yeah, and so you have Gail. And of course you have Glenn,
which Glenn, I love that they've leaned more
Glenn
that
and Sweet Treats.
Talk about, and that's what I mean by progression of characters, is that as the season has seasons have progressed, there's more and more openness about the fact that he's definitely gay, although he's not wide open gay, but he's made statements where like, I'm sorry, what, can you repeat that? And he's like, no,
I'm
just
sorry,
like,
he took
I love
a
Jesus.
Polaroid of his own junk before he told McMurray to pop off his shirt and he was gonna take some steals of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first fucking season, mm-hmm. he's straight up like wanted to null overweight.
No, right.
He's just like,
and more of a didgeridoo.
He stuck around when it was the swinger episode. He stuck the fuck around. He has fucked the McMurray or the McMurrays. The
Gail did.
Gail did. She went into like,
because McMurray's a piece of shit.
She went into haggling about it. Like, okay, none of this stuff. None of this stuff. Okay, cool.
And my
safe
word
it.
Is
the didgeridoo and the didgeridoo.
More like a didgeridoo.
Don't. But Glenn, when they were trying to get the possum out, and he's like taking his pants off, and it's like, it's just so humid in here.
Oh my God.
And then he's swinging his underwear around his head.
When they find the rabid possum in the church, and Daryl has to go to the doctor.
Yeah. But not right away, because he's an idiot.
I love, he's rabid, and they're sitting around the table, and he's like puking and drooling, and it's like, once he pukes on in the floorboards, like, it's never gonna get out, and they're like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're just dealing with like rabid dairy.
Rabid human.
The entire time. But we're just reminiscing about our favorite episodes, and ultimately, like, this, I hope, drives you to revisit the show, because it's immensely rewatchable. It's not a show that you're going to get everything the first time around, because it's so dense.
I've watched it like 5 times.
It is one of the most lyrically dense. That's why I made the Aaron Sorkin reference, because it's one of those shows that it's so dense that you're laughing and missing other jokes.
Yeah.
Because it's so just deeply, like, every single thing is referenceable.
Put
the captions on. I would, as much as it is an English show, English language show, it is so rapid fire that the subtitles are probably necessary.
Definitely help in season 3 when they hang out with the French versions of themselves.
Oh, sure.
That was a little rough.
Yeah, you. Saying. Yeah,
I hear there's good ice fishing up in Quebec.
Lots of good ice fishing.
Great
up in
ice
Quebec.
Fishing in Quebec.
Fucking hate Quebec.
Jean-Pierre, everybody.
Yeah, it's
Jean-Pierre McMurray.
Oh God.
And also hearing Wade speak French is the best thing ever.
Because he speaks it with a fucking hick accent.
It's amazing.
He does.
It's so good.
With the those guys are, you know, they're. It's funny because it's a lot of his friends involved. Like, I think him and Derry are really friends in real life.
Oh, probably. Yeah, for sure.
And I think Trevor K. Wilson, if you've not seen, go on YouTube and check out some of his stand-up. He's a storyteller, But his stuff is so good. And you kind of figure out where
all this comes from.
Yeah, all this comes from. That Dan is basically extension.
I've seen Trevor Craig Wilson's stand-up, and it's definitely like he's not the same. He's not Squirrely Dan.
But it's real close.
But it's close, yeah.
It's real close that it's he's a storyteller, and so when he tells the stories about his about all his cousins and stuff in the show, it's just like, okay, I see where this comes from.
I would suggest if you have not yet, check out Letterkenny Problems. That's the YouTube series that started this whole ordeal. So that's where all this came from, was the YouTube series. It's 2 3-minute bits. There's also Little Kenny. And if you can find it, our Canadian listeners, which we actually do have a decent amount of Canadian listeners, they can possibly find Little Kenny, because we've not been able to see it here in the States.
Yeah. Can you give us a stream, please?
Yeah, please.
Link or a stream or something.
An animated version of the characters when they were in school as little kids. So I'm deeply interested to see. I've seen the trailer for it and stuff, and it looks amazing. So I would love to, get a stream for it or something.
I've been trying to look for that too.
Yeah. Us in the States, apparently not cool enough. So we just have to deal with your leavings from Canada, from Letterkenny. So, and we're happy to do so. Right. Our friends up north that are listeners, thank you so much for giving us this amazing show that we love so deeply.
I mean, we're not cool enough for anything. We only got full-dress chips in the States 2 years ago.
Yeah, they don't even have ketchup chips here.
No, we don't get ketchup chips, but the Ruffles full-dressed, oh, man, so good.
But we have 5 different kinds of Captain's Crunch.
We do. Six different kinds of Captain's Crunch.
All the Captain's Crunch.
So on that note, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Rate and review on all the places that you can do that. Subscribe to us on all your podcatcher apps, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or whatever, and tell your friends. Join us on social media, Geeks Out of the Influence. Just look that up wherever, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that. We have all the stuff. Find the other shows at GUIpodcast.com. We've got 9 shows on the network. We love to hear from our fans, so hit us up at geeksundertheinfluence@gmail.com. Our hotline number, where you can leave a text or a voicemail message, at 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. And or send messages through our social media stuff. I'm Mike the Hobbit. That's a Texas size 10-4 on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Join us or die.
Well, McMurray's a piece of shit.
Who's got money for that?
Pitter patter. Let's get at her.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you don't you resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an iron fist. So join us or die, join us or die, or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Oh,
yes,
fuck.
Yes.